take your Bible, please. Turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 while I dismiss the 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds. All the 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds, this is now your time to go. And as you're finding your place there in Ephesians chapter 5, it reminds you of a couple of things. The book entitled Are We There Yet? Written by Dr. and Mrs. Paul Chappell for marriage is available for you, especially those who signed up to get it. They're $17, and I encourage you to go by and get this tonight. We did order some extras, and those are available as long as they last. They're $17 per book here, so I encourage you to get this for your marriage. That'll be a great thing. And as you leave tonight, I appreciate Brother Charlie Moore and how he makes these beautiful calendars available to us every year. And these calendars have our church name on it on the front and the gospel presentation on the back of them. And these are available for you to take tonight for yourself. But we got a lot of these. Matter of fact, we got 1,500 of them. The reason we did that is God has put it on my heart, the heart of your pastor, to give a gift to your neighbors. There's no question that one of the most effective ways, humanly speaking, to build a church is for people to reach their own friend. There's no question about that. That's their friends, their relatives, their associates, and their neighbors. And may I encourage you, especially your neighbors, to take enough if you want to accept this challenge. I'm not going to know if you do or not unless you tell me, okay? But I encourage every one of you to take enough for your neighbors. These are very well received. To go to the door, to give yourself a reason for being at the door and saying, we'd like to give you a free gift from our church. And as your neighbor, I just want you to know I care about you. Here's a free gift. The gospel's on the back. Invite them to church. If you want to try to win them to Christ at that time, help yourself. But take advantage of these. These are out in the lobby as you leave tonight. So I encourage you, take one for your family, take one for your friends, your relatives, your associates, your neighbors. But I'm pushing specifically your neighbors, trying to reach our neighborhoods for Jesus Christ. No question, God is in that. And I encourage you to take advantage of it now. This is one reason why we put our church name on the front, the gospel on the back, because you're literally giving the gospel to somebody when you give them this calendar. So take advantage of that. I'm going to leave it right here. Hopefully by putting it in front of me right here, I will remember to do that at the end. If I don't, then I've got a worse memory than I realize I do anyway. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. I'm just going to use this as a springboard for our message. I'm coming back tonight to our topical series on the sound doctrine of the Bible. I'm doing a series on sound doctrine. And we're currently under the doctrine of God. We're looking at two things about Him, His nature and His names. Now, we've not even gotten to His names yet. We're now under His nature. And God willing, we're going to end this part tonight. Because we're looking at the last thing under the nature of God is that He is a Trinity. He is a Trinity. He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Not three gods, one God manifested in three ways. We cannot explain it. We cannot fully comprehend it. Aren't you glad? Because if we could, He wouldn't be God. And we're looking at the Holy Spirit of God. We've looked at several things about Him, and tonight we're turning to this major thought on the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Preacher Lashley, understand, preached on this Wednesday night, just kind of whetting your appetite for this message tonight, just showing you how God works in that. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Notice it now, be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray together, and I'm going to preach to you tonight on how to be filled with the Spirit of God. Let's pray together. Father, bless tonight. Speak to our hearts. May the will of God be done, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As we've been studying on the Holy Spirit of God, now I remind you, there's no need for you to keep notes with me unless you want to, but you don't have to, because when I get done with this entire doctrine, I'll make this available to you. And I'm currently in page number 40-something, okay? So I'm going to give it all to you if you want it later. as we've come to the doctrine of the Holy Ghost of God, we've noticed several things about Him. We've talked about His titles, what He's called. We've talked about His types, what He's called in the Bible there. We've talked about His traits. And then we're currently now under His treatment. In other words, different things that we can do with or for the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the final thing that we're looking at concerning the Holy Spirit of God and His treatment is that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, there's several things that we're looking at here about being Spirit-filled. We've noticed the meaning of it. We've noticed the need for it. We've noticed the evidence of it. In other words, it shows when you are Spirit-filled. And then, in conclusion of this part of the doctrine of God, we notice number four, the way to be Spirit-filled. Now, folks, this is not exhaustive. In other words, these are not the only things. You understand what I'm saying to you? But these are three things I'm going to give you tonight, that these are great ways to become filled with the Holy Spirit of God. These are simple things. See, the obvious question is this: how can I be Spirit-filled? That's an obvious question. There's probably not one Christian here tonight, probably not, because I don't think you would come back to the house of God on Sunday night unless you at least had a desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I don't believe that there's any Christian here tonight who doesn't have a desire to be filled. We know it's good, we know it's right, we know it's what God wants, and we know that we need to be Spirit-filled. It's a command of God. Look here, please. If we're not filled, we are not right with God, because it's a command of God. He commands us to be filled. Therefore, the question I want to answer tonight simply is this: how can we truly be filled with the Spirit of God? Now, within the pages of Scripture, there are several things, several answers to this question. I'm going to give you three of them, okay, tonight. Now, it's important for us to understand from the outset that these things I'm going to give you tonight, they are basic. They are ordinary. They're not extraordinary. And nobody's going to leave tonight and say, I didn't know that. I never heard that word before. It doesn't work that way. You know, really, I've learned this about the Christian life. When we get in trouble in the basics of Christianity. It's just the basic Christian life. Let me give you a three-point outline simply tonight about how to be filled with the Spirit of God. By the way, you know you need to be filled, right? Amen? Yes? I need to be filled. If I'm going to be the husband God wants me to be, I've got to be a Spirit-filled husband. If I'm going to be the daddy God wants me to be, I've got to be a Spirit-filled father. You get it. If I'm going to be the pastor God desires me to be, I've got to be a Spirit-filled pastor. On and on it goes, singing songs. It makes no difference. Apply it to whatever it is. Bus captain, Sunday school teacher, whatever it is. You need to be a Spirit-filled Christian. How can you be Spirit-filled? Number one, here we go now. Almost embarrassing how simple it is. Number one, thirst to be filled with the Spirit of God. Thirst for it. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 44:3, it says, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring." The point here is this: the reason many are not filled with the Spirit of God is due to the fact that they are not thirsty enough to be filled. In other words, if you can live without it, you will. Do you hear what I just said? If you can live without being Spirit-filled, then you will live without being Spirit-filled. I like what one man said. He said, before the Chicago fire in 1871, he's making a report here about D.L. Moody. Before that Chicago fire back in 1871, two ladies sat in the front of Mr. Moody's church, D.L. Moody's church, and prayed for him while he preached. That troubled him because he wasn't sure what that meant. And after a while, he had a meeting with those ladies. And in the meeting, they told him that they were praying for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Moody thought he already had power, and he was pastoring the largest church at that time in Chicago. He was preaching to the largest congregations in the city, and lost people were being saved in his services. But after a while, he started hungering for spiritual power. In other words, God's already using him, but he just started hungering for more spiritual power. After the Chicago fire, Mr. Moody started traveling to raise money to rebuild. And by that time, he had started praying for himself, and he said this, and I quote, listen to this. This is D.L. Moody talking. There came a great hunger in my soul. I did not know what it was. I began to cry out as I never had before. I did not want to live if I could not have power for service. Well, one day in the city of New York, I'm still quoting, "Oh, what a day. I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It's almost too sacred an experience to name. I can only say that God revealed himself to me, and I had such an experience to name. I can only say that God," "I can only say that God revealed himself to me. I had such an experience of his love that I had to ask him to stay his hand. Please stop." I went on preaching again. The sermons were not different. I did not present any new truths, and yet hundreds were converted. I would not now be placed back where I was before that blessed experience. If you should give me all the world, it would be as the small dust in the balance, end quote. Curtis Hudson said this, referring to what I'm talking to, just get thirsty for him. Get thirsty for the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Desire with all of your heart to be Spirit-filled. Curtis Hudson put it this way, thirsting, thirsting, thirsting. I doubt seriously if anyone in this building has ever been thirsty. You say, "I got thirsty today." No, you wanted water today. You see, the moment you want water, it's there in the faucet. You don't have to wait even 5 minutes to get it. But you go without water for a day, 2 days, 3 days. Go without water until your lips swell 3 times their normal size and your tongue swells and begins to crack and parch. Go without water until you would give your automobile and your house and everything you have in the bank for one drop of water. Then you are thirsty. He goes on to say the prime reason many Christians do not have the fullness of the Holy Spirit is that they just absolutely are not thirsty enough. If you can take it or leave it, you will leave it. You have to get to the place where you say, "I have to have it or die. I don't care what happens. I won't give up," end quote. Powerful statements. He went on to say this, "Don't you get tired of just swinging the axe handle with no head on it? Don't you get tired of going through the motions? Knowing nothing is going to happen but thinking that the show must go on. If you did some Sunday mornings what you felt like doing, you would stand and say, 'Let's be dismissed. This place is as dead as a doornail, as dead and empty and dry as last year's bird nest.'" And I say amen to that. "I'm tired of business as usual. I want the fresh breath of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God breathing upon Buffalo Ridge, where the entire Tri-Cities, the entire nation, and the entire world points to a church like this and says, 'Look what God is doing there.'" You know, he wants to do that. He wants that more than we want it. And the reason we don't have it is because he wants it more than we want it. Do we really want God to move in our midst? Do we really want the filling of the Holy Spirit of God? Do you want it? Do you crave it? Are you thirsty for it? One of the ways to be Spirit-filled is to get thirsty for it. Are you thirsty to be a Spirit-filled Christian? That's number one. Number two, not only be thirsty, thirst for the filling of the Spirit, but number two, yield to the Holy Spirit's control. We need to be thirsty for it. We desire it. But here it is now. We must yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God. You know, Romans 12:1 puts it this way, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Romans 6:13, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Tom Malone said this. He said, "Once a lady said to a preacher, 'I got the Holy Spirit last night.' He said that was wrong terminology unless she had just been saved. But see, that's not what this lady meant. The preacher said, 'I know something better than that.' She said, 'What could be better than my getting the Holy Spirit?' He said, 'It'd be far better if the Holy Spirit could get all of you.'" This is the secret. You have the Holy Spirit when you trust Christ as your Savior. When you got saved, you got all of the Holy Spirit that you'll ever have. He moved inside. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. The filling of the Holy Spirit of God is not how much you have of Him, but how much of you that He has. See, the Holy Spirit desires to have you, to possess you. You know, isn't it a blessing tonight to possess the Holy Spirit of God? Isn't it a blessing that you house God? I mean, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of me. That's a blessing. I possess God. But to be filled with the Spirit of God, He must possess me. Now, here's the point. If you are not willing to turn your life over to Him, you will never be filled with the Spirit of God. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Oliver Green put it this way. This illustrates the point great. He said, we might illustrate it this way. Suppose I came to stay in your home, and while you allowed me in the living room, you refused to allow me in the dining room, the kitchen, or the den. He said, I think I would be a bit saddened, a bit grieved by such treatment. But suppose, on the other hand, you invited me not only into your living room, but allowed me the use of the entire house as well, giving me liberty to take advantage of all the comforts of the home as though it were my own. How different that arrangement would be. What we need to do as Christians is simply say to the Holy Spirit, here is the key to my heart, my soul, my body, my entire being. Fill me, possess me, lead me. Whatsoever I do, may it be done to the glory of God. The Holy Spirit is in the world today to glorify God the Father and Christ the Son. Get this. Please note that there is a tremendous difference between the Christians possessing the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's possessing the Christian. The point is, we cannot be filled with the Spirit unless we are willing to surrender ourselves all completely to Him. D.L. Moody said, many a man praying for God to fill him is full already with something else. He goes on to say, before we pray for God to fill us, we should pray for God to empty us. The story goes, you remember the story that's told about General William Booth's interview with Queen Victoria. Queen Victoria said, and I quote, General Booth, you are not the most educated preacher in my realm, nor the most talented. You do not have the largest church. Why is it then that you are being so mightily used of God? General Booth, bowing before her, that great, good, humble man said this, and I quote, Your Majesty, I guess it's because God has all there is of me. You know what the secret is with General William Booth, the founder there of the Salvation Army? The secret is this, not that he was educated, because apparently he wasn't. Not that he had the largest church, because apparently he didn't. But he gave his whole life to God. He said, you can have it all, every bit of it. I mean, even D.L. Moody said, I mean, once that man made that statement that the world's yet to see what God can do in and with and for a man that's wholly consecrated to Him, and D.L. Moody heard that, and he said something along this line, by the grace of God, I'll be that man. I'll give my life to God. I'll give Him everything, lock, stock, and barrel, whatever that means. I'm giving it all to Him. And there's D.L. Moody. I've got a book by him. Some of his own handwritten notes in photocopy back there in my office. And I'm telling you, that man couldn't spell worth a dime. I mean, read some of his own handwriting. He couldn't spell. He was very poorly educated. He was won to Christ by his Sunday school teacher. But he gave his life to God. God filled him. God filled him. God filled him, and 1 million people, it's been reported, were saved under that man's preaching ministry. You say, Jody, you telling me if I get Spirit filled, there'll be 1 million people saved? No. But there'll be a whole lot more that will, if you, listen to me, if you are filled, than if you're not filled by the Spirit of God. I'm telling you tonight, we need this. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. How do you get it? Thirst for it. Desire it. All of your heart. Not only thirst for it, yield to Him. Give Him the keys to your life. Don't hold any key back. Say, God, my life is an open book. Thank You that I possess You. Would You please possess me? Take every nook, every cranny, whatever that means. Take it all. Take the closets. Take every room of my life. Go in and out. My life is Yours. I'm not holding anything. Here it is, Jesus. Let me tell you something. You get thirsty for the Spirit of God like that, and you give your life over to Him like that, He'll fill you fresh and new. Now, we need it. We need Him. No question about it. Number one, thirst for it. Number two, yield to Him. Number three, this is simple. You ready? This is deep. You ready for this? Ask Him to fill you. Thirst, yield, ask. Thirst, yield, ask. If we do these three things, now in the pages of Scripture you may find other things, but these are three major things that if you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, you need to be thirsting for it. You need to yield yourself to God. Give your whole life to Him. And you need to ask Him to fill you fresh and new. Now this seems so simple. Yet it is where many fail to be Spirit-filled. If you're thirsty for His filling, and you are yielded to His control, then just ask in faith, and He will honor that request. You say, is it really that simple? It's simple truths, but it's hard to yield everything, isn't it? Can I get an amen there, please, or not? Is it hard to yield everything to God? Let me tell you how I know it's hard. Because so few really do it. And I am convinced that there are Christians, and I have been one of them in the past. Hopefully I'm not now, but I could be. I'm just telling you. Sometimes we think we're yielded, but then when we spend time with God alone, God turns the light on. And He'll show you something that has not been yielded to Him. Has that ever happened to you? I'll tell you what happens when I take time to get away, get alone with God. I mean, just get away, get alone, get away from everything, get away from family, all of it. I mean, all of it, just get away. Just me and God. And I pour my heart out to God. Every time, it's been my experience, every time God shows me me. Me. And He says, that's got to change. That's not yielded. That's not right. Get that out of your life. Start this. Stop that. Why is He doing that? Because He has a great work that He wants to use me to do. You can say the same thing. He's got a great work that He wants to use you to do. And He knows you've got to be filled with Him. Without me, He can do nothing, He says. And He knows that we need Him. So when we go to Him alone, He'll start shining the heavenly spotlight on those things, showing us things that's crowding Him out. Let me ask you a question. And this is nobody's business but you and God. Is there anything right now, is there anything that the Holy Spirit of God has His light shined on it right now saying that is why you are not Spirit-filled? I don't care what that is. Look here, please. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Because if that is keeping you from being filled with the Spirit of God, that is robbing you of the power of God. Now, folks, I'm not preaching to this church. I'm preaching to myself. I'm just letting you listen in on it tonight. I need this. And the Word of God says, if I want to be Spirit-filled, look here please, I can be. Let me tell you why I know I can be and you can be, because He's commanded us to be filled with the Spirit, and He never commands something that He doesn't give us. I'm talking about the ability to be able to get it done. Then why are we not Spirit-filled? Why are we not? Let's be honest. Let's be honest. Why are there so few Christians really, truly Spirit-filled? Look here, please. It's either because they're not thirsty, they're not yielded, or they haven't asked. The Word of God says in James 4:2, it says, you lust and have not, and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. Luke 11:13 says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Them that ask Him. The Bible says in Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, that church is just gathered in unity praying, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. Boldness. May I say this to you? I'm just about done. Like I said this morning, that means absolutely nothing, okay? I'm just about done here. I just lied to you again. I'm just kidding with you. I like coming down here sometimes because it's a little bit more homey. It's almost like I'm coming into your living room. This is a big living room, by the way, you know. Let's talk a minute. Well, let me talk and you listen, okay? By the way, you can tell I'm called to preach, even though I stutter all the time. I just can't keep my mouth shut. You know what I mean? Now think. Simple tonight. Do we need to be Spirit-filled? That's not a trick question. Yes. Why? Because we need Him, right? Without Him, we can do nothing. Our marriages need it. Our homes need it. Our parents need it. Our children need it. This pastor needs it. You need it. This church needs it. We need it. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. And it's time that we understand the way that we can have it as a church is if you get your eyes off of me and I get my eyes off of you, and we all go before God and say, please turn the light on and show me what's hindering it. Are you afraid to do that? Or are you not going to do it because you already know what He's going to shine the light on? You already know. It's your music. It's that relationship you're in. It's that bitterness you're holding on to. It's that anger towards that family member that you've been carrying around. You know the anger and the bitterness that people just try to say, oh, I'm not bitter, I'm not. Down deep inside, if they went to God, God would tell them exactly, you are bitter. And that's what's keeping my blessing off of you. Can we just get real tonight? You know what God wants? Honesty. Just get honest. We're not Catholic, aren't you glad? We're not going to set up a confessional booth. Okay, come and tell me all of your sin. We're not going to do that. But I'll tell you one thing, it'd be great for people to come to the altar tonight, getting on their face, if nothing else, just to say, God, I don't know what you're going to tell me, even if you don't know. I'm not sure, but I know this. I need you. I need your filling. I need your power. I need your influence. I want you to take full control. And I'm telling you, I want you to turn the lights on. Show me where I need to change. You willing to do that tonight? If you say no, then you will not be Spirit-filled. And somebody in your influence will be affected. Did you hear what I just said? I am a selfish Christian if I'm not Spirit-filled and I don't do anything about it. Because I know the reason I need to be Spirit-filled is so I can treat my wife the way that God wants me to treat her, that I can love her the way that I'm supposed to love her, that I can raise my kids right, that I can pastor this church right, I can be the leader and the administrator, and all of these kind of things right. You may tell you what I need? I need the power of God. That's what I need. And if I refuse to do that, and I don't go to God and say, God, shine the light on me. Show me where I'm wrong. Oh, God, would you show me anything that's holding your hand back in my life? Show me anything that's keeping me from being Spirit-filled. If I'm not willing to do that, I am selfish, because you won't have the right kind of pastor. Don't you see that? You won't have the right kind of leader. My home won't have the right kind of home leader. And lost people that God wants to use me to get the gospel to may still go without the gospel. Am I making sense, Daniel? Sometimes I preach and it's like, I hope that's making sense. I mean, I hope, I don't want you to ever leave and say, what did he say? If you ever leave and say, now honey, what did he say? Number one, you need to ask him, your husband, did you sleep through that? Or, you know, whatever the case may be. But if I create that, I've failed you. I'm simply trying, listen, when you leave, you ought to be able to say, here's what the preacher said. Amen or not? And here's what the preacher's saying. We need God. We can have him. He wants to fill us fresh and new with his Holy Spirit. How do we do it? Get thirsty. Be willing to yield it all to him. Whatever it is, take it, God. And then just simply ask, dear God, would you fill me? Are you willing to do that? I am. Will you join me? A leader should be somebody who's willing to get out in front and show the way. How dare I preach you ought to yield your life if I've not yielded mine? And I'm telling you, as far as I know, it's all God's. But here's what I've learned. When I get alone with God, God shows me a little corner over there that I didn't even think about. And he said, it's full of cobwebs, son. Get them out. It's what we need. Amen or not tonight? I hope God will seal it on our hearts. I'm saying this and I'm starting to come down for a close. We can go ahead and start preparing for the invitation, Brother Gary. Thank you, sir, very much. I'm saying this and I'm starting to come down for a close. If this church, if this pastor, and you precious people, every one of you, if you and I will get a hold of this message tonight, really any Bible message, you understand, but especially this one. If we will get a hold of this one and this one will get a hold of us, our church, our families, our area, and our world will never be the same. It will show. And may God help us to see this. Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Get thirsty. Get yielded. Get asking. And God can do a great work in our midst. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, bless it. Use it tonight. I believe your Holy Spirit is moving. And I pray that you help folks to respond. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. Who will be first tonight to get out of their seat and say, God, I need this? God, would you create a thirst in me like I've never had? God, would you create a thirst in my spirit, in my heart, in my soul for the power of God like I've never had before? May I not just be able to take it or leave it. May I be consumed. And Father, would you help me to yield my life to you completely? Every room, every closet, all of it. Obviously, if somebody's lost here tonight, come on. Come on. Let us take a Bible and share the gospel with you. Just take time to be with the Lord. And as you're on your face tonight, even if you cannot literally be that way, in your heart, you're down before the Lord. Ask God to give you thirst. Ask God to help you yield to Him. And just ask Him to fill you fresh anew. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Let's all stand together, please. We're going to sing this little chorus together. This will be our closing prayer tonight. As soon as we get done, you're dismissed. Let's sing this together, shall we?
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me.
Service at 7, not Wednesday, Tuesday night. Thank you for coming tonight. You're dismissed. God bless you. Yes, the calendars are available. Please take advantage of the calendars as you leave. Take some of those calendars, okay?